We'll read a couple of verses in chapter 16, and then we'll go back to chapter 14. Proverbs chapter number 16, and we'll begin reading in verse number 11. If you have problems hearing me, if you'll just raise your hand, I'll see if I can adjust. I'm having so much trouble, and so just pray for that also. But in Proverbs chapter number 16, verse number 11, says, "A just weight and balance are the Lord's. I'm glad this morning they are His. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are His work. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness." Go back now to verse number 34 of chapter 14. "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is reproach to any people." Very familiar verse that we read this morning, this last verse. "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is reproach to any people." It doesn't matter where you find yourself, doesn't matter what country you deal with, sin is reproach to any people. We have just gone through, and we traveled back this past week on the 4th of July, and we were on the road about 10 hours that day, so it wasn't too much of a celebration other than when we drove in this driveway. I was home and glad to be there. But our nation celebrated a birthday that I dare say that just a couple of hundred years ago, the people that lived in that era would have no idea of what would be going on in this country in this year. Our nation is racked with ungodliness, unrighteousness in high places. And we tend to look back when we think of national holidays like Independence Day. And certainly you read the undoctored history of our country. I'm not talking about the history they're trying to rewrite now, but I'm talking about pure history. You'll find that God blessed the beginning of our country many, many different ways. God continued to bless our country, and really and truly, we have to admit, He still is blessing our nation. Regardless of the faults that we have and the struggles that we have and the sin that we have, I still believe that America is the greatest nation on the face of this earth. We have more. We are able to do more. We experience more. We just have the freedom to and the liberty to do as we please, even though many times those things do not please our God. But our nation has established us in a point and to a point that we are able to do what we desire to do. And our desires are changing very rapidly away from the righteousness of God and the goodness of our God. We are rapidly changing to a nation that doesn't even know the principles of the Lord. We have a president that has made his slogan, that is a hated slogan even in our own country, to make America great again. America has been great. America still is great. But we have some problems that need to be corrected, and all of them tend to be a spiritual problem that has brought about much of the other problems of our country. We look forward to the future, but our future is so unsure of what might be yet before us. Someone says that America has been like a fine-tuned automobile that is now being disassembled just one little part at a time. That's a pretty good way to explain it. You have an auto out there, you have a car, you have a truck, you have a van, You go to it, you turn the key, you expect it to start because all the parts are working correctly. If it doesn't start, that means there's something wrong somewhere, and we have to find the root problem of that difficulty in performance. And America is not performing like she used to perform. You can take a few parts off of your car, and it's not going to bother you too much. But if you keep taking one little part at a time, and you get down to some very important areas of that motor or the transmission, you'll find that it'll make a difference in how it runs. You'll see it makes a difference in how it rides. And you keep removing, you keep tearing down, before long it will not move at all. And so we find that America has problems. But the Scripture tells us here that righteousness exalteth a nation. The righteousness of our God exalts and will uphold and will even ensure good things from the Lord. We look to a generation before us, and I have said, and I've heard others say, what will the next generation be like? What will our leadership be like in just a few years when we consider what's going on in our country today? We do need to make America great again. We do need to stir up some issues that's right and some things that would help us to have once again the blessings of our Lord. Our president just has returned from the G20 or G something that they have, where all the world leaders get together and they try to settle the problems, and they come back and we still have the same problems. And our president made a speech the other day that I thought was a very good speech, and he was promoting patriotism in our country. Well, I'm for that 100%. But we have folks in our country and people around the world that despise that word patriotism. They despise that word Americanism or Western style. And they despise what it all stands for. We even have a Roman Catholic cardinal in this country that said that Donald Trump, when he made that speech, he was applying and he was looking to the dark side of America. Well, if patriotism is a dark side of America, then I'm in the dark side. Because I believe we need to love our country. I believe we need to support our country. And I believe we need to do everything we can to make it what it should be for the Lord. Will it ever come back to what it was? I doubt very seriously that it will. You read history, you see things that take place, and there's never anything that ever comes back to what it was after it fails. But we can, and we do live in a nation that gives us some rights and gives us some responsibilities. And it has been because of those that have given their lives and given their time, the process of living and giving all those things that we might have that freedom and that liberty. You can look in the history books and you can see the documents and you can see all the different things of people that have died and those young men and young ladies that have given their lives around this world. And just a few years back, President Ronald Reagan, he made the statement, says, for those that have died, they've gave up two lives, the one that they had and the one that they should have had. And truly, that is a correct statement. And we are here this morning, having just come through this process or this period of time that we call our independence and our love for this country. I for one love America, and I'm troubled at the way that we are traveling and the way that we are going. And we, as I said a while ago, we're still the greatest country in the world, but our greatness is diminishing. And we once had the respect of the world. Now we have the crime and corruption, and our country now is looked upon as no different than anyone else and any other country. And there are those that would make us a third world country, like Emily just showed us some of those things. There are those that would really and truly desire that we would have everything given to us by the government, and that never does work out. Have you noticed your health care being so much better since the government got involved in it? Wow. Everybody laughs at that statement. Have you noticed how much more available things are since the government has gotten involved in that? Now they're trying to rework it and redo it, and probably won't be any better than what we've got. But we find that righteousness is the need that we have in our country. Righteousness exalteth a nation. If we want to be great again, then we must return to some of those things that made us great. President Trump says, make America great again. But you know, he's looking the wrong direction. He's looking at all the social issues. He's looking at the economic issues. He's looking at all the things that bring about wealth and financial stability. And of course, he would do that since he has that and probably one of the richest men in the world to begin with. And he would be involved, and rightfully so. We need those things in our country. But the main issue that we have this morning is unrighteousness. The main problem we have this morning is the lack of righteousness in our country as far as our leadership. But our leadership only reflects the people that put them in their position. The mayor of New York City, her brother Earl sort of laugh over there. That's about all you can do for him. But they have a policewoman killed, and he goes from New York City to Hamburg, Germany, to protest our president. And someone said he'll probably get reelected because there's nobody of any worth running against him. That's a problem. That's a difficult issue because he is an avowed socialist. And our country is being overrun with the thought and the idea that capitalism is wrong and wealth is wrong and ability to do is just because of who you are. In America, it used to be if you desired it, if you weren't and you worked hard enough for it, you could obtain that. It didn't matter who you were. But our country has definitely changed. If we want to be great again, we must return back to those things that made us great. America is not perfect, and I'm certainly not standing here stating that we have perfect ideals. We have, statistics say, we have almost 3,000 children witness every week the divorce of their parents. 3,000 children. We have 32, 33, 3,500 teenagers that run away from home every week. We have 6 teenagers every week nationwide, and it's probably more than this, that commit suicide. We've heard of that even in our own communities in this past 6 months, more than once. So we are reaping the results of unrighteousness. We are reaping the results of not having things in our heart that should be concerning the Word of God. We are living in a generation that does not know God and does not want anybody else to know God. In the year 2000, there were 1,688 young people, 13 to 24, reported with AIDS. Over half the teenagers say they would have a better relationship with their parents if they had opportunity to spend more time with them. Violent youth crimes peak between the hours of 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. because there's no parent available. Nearly 40% of American teenagers know someone who has been shot. 40% of all children in America have not seen their father in the last year. Those ought to open our heart and our thoughts and say, what in the world is wrong with our country? What have we lost that made us a great nation? What have we give up? And something else has taken its place. And it's been a process that's gone on for a number of years. It's been a process that didn't happen overnight. And we have almost literally been lulled to sleep and do not realize what has taken place in this country. And by the way, we are part of the problem. Amen. All of us, everywhere, across this country. I want to give you three or four different things that I believe what made America a good nation and a great nation. There's much more than this, but these are some things that I think about when we talk about how America has fallen short in these past years. The first thing that made us great, I believe, in the very beginning, is that America believed, accepted, taught, and lived the Word of God, the Bible. Now, I'm not saying that I would agree with every religious idea that our founding fathers had, for some of them had none. Nor would I say that I agree with everything that they did or that they said or that they wrote down. But there was a respect for God's Word. Even if they were non-believers, even if they were people that did not name the name of Christ, they at least accepted and respected the Word of God. And we have seen that belittled continually before our very eyes. One of the first acts that our Congress did was to authorize the printing of the Bible so that all the country could have availability of the Word of God. Tell me that does not make a difference. Where you find the Scripture, you find civilization that's tame and people that have understanding, because this book that I hold and these books that we have in our homes and our lives and even in our laps this morning, this book gives us the ability to learn and to know and to how to treat each other, how to live and how to go to heaven. Thank God for the knowledge of that. But we have erased that. Our leaders today don't want to be politically incorrect, and so we don't say too much about the Scriptures, but our founding fathers stressed the importance because they realized that lives were changed by God's Word. Because in His Word we learn of the living Word who is Jesus Christ. That Word that lives in our heart, that message that comes to us, that He came to us to save us. We realize that we're saved by grace and that grace has been preached across this country far and near, and people have accepted and believed. But now we've turned from that and we hear very little about it. If you haven't realized yet, we are not in the majority any longer. Righteousness is not a word that is used very much. Salvation is something that is old hat and archaic, and we have arrived to the point in our ability to think and to reason, that we don't need God anymore. We can take care of it ourselves. Well, we've taken care of it ourselves, and now we need God more than we ever did. We've taken care of those things, and we've done our own thing, and we've put things into perspective, and now we pay no attention to what thus saith the Lord. Only churches like this across the country still continue to preach and to proclaim the Word of God. Our present leaders would do well to pay attention to this book. If our leadership wants to make America great again, then get back into the Word of God and find out what makes us great. Amen. Salvation is the first step, and that personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have had people that have criticized God's Word, God's men. We have those that make and mock the very fact that there is a God in heaven. And as long as we continue to do that, we can't expect the blessings of the Lord to be upon us. We have just gone through our 41st year of being a nation, and buddy, we've come a long way, baby. We've traveled the road, we've made the trip, and the trip now on the road has become very rocky and very unstable. And so the Bible was that focal point that I believe made America what America used to be. We live in a very, in this part of the country, we live in a very sheltered idea. You go to the larger cities and you're not going to find what we believe. You're not going to find churches that teach what we teach. You're not going to find people that believe what we believe. And so therefore, the Bible had been pushed aside, and even religion has taken over and destroyed the effectiveness of God's Word. Not only did the Bible make us great, but the blood made us great also. It's the blood of those young men that have given their lives, and it's the blood of those that have given their lives at places like Valley Forge and Gettysburg, and even in the far distant countries of France and Germany and the Philippines. We find that they gave themselves and gave that ultimate life and the ultimate gift of life. And they laid their life down for people they did not even know because they loved a country of which we had. But that's not really the blood that has made us great. It is the preaching of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ across this country that has made us what we were and what we should be this morning. The blood that was shed for the church is much more important than the blood that was shed for this country. The blood that was shed for the child of God and the people of this world was much more precious than all the blood that has been shed upon the foreign fields of this world during the wars that we have gone through. War after war after war, and many of them are religious wars. We're fighting a war worldwide now. It's a religious war. And so we find that religion is not what has made us great, but the preaching of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ through the book, the Word of God, made us what we once were. The Bible says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." When Jesus hung there upon the cross of Calvary, he shed his blood. He didn't spill it. He shed his blood. He gave it willingly. He gave it openly that all might come unto him. He died for those that would believe and trust in him. He gave his own blood. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." This morning, it's the preaching of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that will make us a great people. It doesn't start in the White House. It starts in the living house. It comes to the church house and filters out into a generation of people. It filters out into a community. And if that be the case, then somewhere down the line, we have failed in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in our own country. Do not get me wrong. I believe in foreign missions, but I'll tell you what, we better turn our eyes toward a great mission field that we live in. Amen. We better turn our eyes to a people that have no knowledge of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have our cliches, we have our sayings, we have all those things that we have lived by all these years, but in doing that, we have forgotten a generation of folks that know not God. And their ability to know God has been destroyed by the public education system in which we have. You don't want to talk about God in school. They're a secular school. Look up the word secular. That means without God. They don't want anything to do with righteousness and holiness. And we spend millions and billions of dollars on how to control our children when God tells us very easily how to do that. Does it always work? No, because rebellions in the heart of a child, rebellions in the heart of a people. But God has given us the way and the plan and the means whereby that we are to live and to serve. But it first comes from the preaching of the gospel from pulpits and churches across this country that Jesus is the only way of salvation. So it's the book that made us great. It's the blood that has made us great. Another thing, and this is on the social side, benevolence has made and did make our country great. You look at history, you look at even today. When our neighbors around the world need help, who's the first country that steps up to help? It's this country. And that has made us a great nation. God doesn't want us to live in a shell. He doesn't want us to live in isolation like some people teach and preach and proclaim and some politicians have. God doesn't want us to live under a bushel. He doesn't want us to hide our light. He wants us to send the gospel. I was noticing in the video a while ago some of the things that they did to get the attention of those children was to socially help them in some areas. I heard a man say a few years ago, and he was dealing with, he's a good man, I trust him and love him in the Lord. And he said it's hard to go to a mission field and tell somebody about Jesus Christ when they're hungry and they cannot think about anything else except the need of that moment. Now, I'm not a social gospel preacher, but there's nothing wrong with helping and giving where people can hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have examples of organizations that supposedly help during national disasters and worldwide disasters, and sometimes they do not spend the money as they should, and so therefore we have a problem with that. We have the country of France that gave America years ago the Statue of Liberty that has been that one spot in this country that says, give me your tired, give me your poor. And America has taken in people from all around the world and they have assimilated into this country and they become Americans. The problem today is everybody wants to come to America and not become Americans. The problem is they want to bring all their junk that has made them what they are and put it on us and make us like them. That's not the way it's supposed to work. But America has been willing to give and to give and to give, even to those that would destroy us. So our benevolence has made and will continue to make us a great nation. And then we have a banner. Thank God this morning for that flag. That's our banner as a country. That's our banner on the other side as a Christian. And I believe we ought to pledge allegiance to both of them. That we are a Christian and we understand the ideals of Christianity. Our flag represents the courage in the red, white, and blue of those that have given their lives and have marched for over 200 years and have given everything they had. We showed the armies of Hitler that they were not the master race. We showed the English that they could not push an infant nation around. We showed the Emperor of Japan that he was not a god, because the only reason we had the ability to do that is that we had the one and only true God helping us. We have a banner. If it does not upset you when you see somebody burn it, then there's something wrong with you. If it does not upset you when you see someone stomp on it and disregard it, then there's a problem. That flag represents my country. That's my banner. I pledge allegiance to it without any problem. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag without any problem. I pledge allegiance to the Word of God without any problem. That's what's made us a great country. Our flag represents Christian people. Our flag represents our children. Our flag represents who we really are. And that has made us a great country. And then lastly, I believe us being a friend to Israel has made us a great nation. God has promised that He would bless those that bless them and curse those that cursed them. Genesis 12, verse 1 says, Now the Lord hath said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from the kindred of thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thee a great, thy name great. But the last part of that verse says, And thou shalt be a blessing. God says, I'm going to bless you, but you're going to be a blessing to others. And of course, the greatest blessing that we could ever have was the Lord Jesus Christ. I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. We have stood by God's people. What makes us great? What makes us different than every other country in the world? I believe it's these four or five things. Many more. We do have a Bible. We do preach the blood. We do have thankfulness and benevolence. And we do have a banner. And we do have a friend, being a friend with Israel. If we want to go down to defeat, do away with any of those things. And I think we see the demise a little piece at a time being removed. And somewhere down the line, the car won't run. Somewhere down the line, the nation does fall. I don't know where it is or what it is, but I do know one thing. My Lord oversees and overshadows, and He made the statement, righteousness exalteth a nation. May God help us this morning as we've just come through and this week of fireworks and all the things that take place of that special day. Those are just representations of what we were and what we are. But if we want to continue, then we better get back to the Bible. We better preach the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we better stay by Israel. Let's stand together this morning.